Dear ones, I am not sure how or when to begin these words to you. Should I begin on Tuesday afternoon, when a small stuffed turtle, a water bottle, and a blanket sat waiting in a 5-year-old named Liam's cubby? Items never to be picked up after he was detained by federal agents. Should I begin with the worksheet on his desk, waiting for him to learn how to trace the letter W? Or should I begin on Friday morning, as the hopeful words, "Enough is enough," echoed through the halls of the Massachusetts State House when more than 175 clergy from a variety of traditions gathered together to affirm that all of our well-beings is bound up in that of our neighbor? Or perhaps I should begin late last night, as churches all throughout Minneapolis gathered their people, trying to figure out how to have service this morning after their pastors had been arrested at a prayerful protest. I am not sure how or when to begin these words to you, so perhaps I will begin here, 2,000 years ago, with Peter and Andrew, James and John joining a movement. The early disciples were living in an age of occupation marked by political violence. Many of them were fishermen who knew what it meant to live within an economy of scarcity, who worried day by day whether there would be enough to go around. And then, when they heard the message of Jesus, a message of the nearness and closeness of God's reign, of abundance and mercy and belonging for everyone without exception, they left what little safety came with the familiar patterns of their lives, and they joined a movement. But the work of bringing love alive in the world asked much of them. And in a moment when their patience began to wear thin, Peter asked Jesus, "Jesus, we have left everything for you. What then will we get in return?" "How about a parable?" Jesus offers. And then he tells them this story. "The kingdom of God is like a landowner who went out early to hire laborers for his vineyard. Imagine it with me. The sun is barely up, and the landowner is already walking towards the marketplace, seeking out people who can tend to his soil and vines. When he finds those seeking a job, they agree on the usual daily wage, and he says, 'Come into the vineyard, there is work for you to do.' And because the day is long and the need is great, he goes out again mid-morning to hire more, and again at noon, and again in the afternoon, and again at 5 o'clock, when any sensible person would say, 'It is too late for any meaningful work to be done.' And still, he invites the last few waiting, saying to them to 'Come into the vineyard, there is work for you to do.' When the evening comes and all of the workers line up to be paid, every last one of them receives the same amount. Those who arrive first grumble with the landowner, saying to him, 'You have made those who arrived after us equal to us. You have made those who arrived with only 1 hour of work left equal to those who labored all day in the scorching heat.' The landowner replies, 'I choose to give the last the same as I give to you. Are you envious because I am generous? Are you upset because I determined that everyone who showed up to this work, no matter when they arrived, will receive the same reward?' And then, with very little fanfare or direct resolution, the parable ends. We do not know how the disciples responded to this story. We do not know whether Peter too grumbled when the answer to his question, "What will we get for being the first to join a movement?" turned out to be a story. A story in which the reward for joining the work early was simply more people to share in that work with along the way. What we do know, though, what Jesus makes clear in this parable is that the kingdom of God is like a vineyard. And no matter when we arrive, God has already been seeking us out, saying, "Come into the vineyard, there is work for you to do." Beloved, the hour is late. The shadows of our history loom long, and some of you have been in this vineyard for a very long time. Some of you have been showing up for the work of justice and love for decades, organizing, marching, praying, voting, giving, standing in rooms where it would have been easier to stay silent. You labored through the scorching heat and long seasons where progress felt painfully slow, and nothing in this parable diminishes that work. Nothing in this gospel forgets your faithfulness. But Jesus tells this story because he knows how easily long laboring can slip into a quiet belief that we deserve more simply because we were here first. But that is not the reward that Jesus speaks of, no. The reward is not that we get to feel morally superior for having been here since dawn, no. The reward is and has always been more people. More people willing to join the work of making sure all are safe and loved and belong. More people ready to step into the vineyard and say, "I am here, use me, what can I do?" Because the work before us is too large, and the hour is too late for only a few of us to carry it. We do not have time or the luxury to turn people away from the vineyard. And so when new people show up, when they arrive late, when their language is imperfect and their point of view is still forming, the gospel does not ask us to measure whether they have earned their place. God asks us to make room, because it has never been us versus them. It has always been all of us, one vineyard. One field of aching, beautiful possibility. One place where every set of hands matters. We need the wisdom of those who have been here since dawn, yes, and we need the urgency of those who have just arrived and cannot believe what they are seeing. And so if you are just arriving now, if you are just beginning to ask questions and feel the ache of this moment in your bones, and you are wondering, is it too late? Have I waited too long? Remember that God's response in this parable is the same to all who enter the vineyard, no matter the hour. Come, there is work for you to do. Not because you are perfectly prepared or have all the right words, but because this work, the work of love and justice and belonging, needs every gift you have to bring. The landowner is not sorting people into categories of worthy and unworthy, but gathering people who can labor side by side in the kingdom of God that he is calling us to help build here on earth. Dear ones, I do not know how or when to end these words to you other than to return to where we began with a small stuffed turtle and a water bottle and a blanket waiting in a 5-year-old's cubby, waiting like a question that none of us should be able to ignore. With the words that echoed through the State House, "Enough is enough," with all of us remembering that our well-beings are bound together, with houses of worship, in Minneapolis and across the nation, gathering their people late into the night to figure out how they still might pray, still might sing, still might refuse to let fear have the final word in the morning. Dear ones, I do not know how or when to end these words to you. So perhaps I will end where Jesus ends this story. Not with neat resolution, but with an invitation. Come into the vineyard. There is work for you to do. Thanks be to God, and amen.